Good morning and welcome to the Abundant Living Radio broadcast. My name is Tim Huth and I pastor the Stove Falls Baptist Church in Cuyahoga Falls. This morning have your Bible open to John chapter 3 for a message entitled, You Must Be Born Again. Again, good morning, and I hope you have your Bible open to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Now, I said the title of the message this morning would be, You Must Be Born Again. And I was listening to a preacher some time ago, and somebody asked him, why do you always preach, You Must Be Born Again? He said, because you must be born again. And this is just so important. And the gospel. I mean, this is why God's left Christians on the earth today. Why the church is still here, why Christ hasn't come, is because God is, he's wanting the gospel to go out. He wants people to hear the truth. And, you know, the reality is that we're going to spend eternity somewhere. We're going to spend eternity either in heaven or hell. And that's the truth. And friend, there is no middle ground. God says it's either you repent and put your faith in Christ, have your sins forgiven, have a home in heaven, or you reject Christ and you pay for your own sin in hell forever. And so somebody might say, well, I'm a good person, or I'm a religious person, and I wouldn't deny that. I wouldn't deny you that. But we're going to look here in John chapter 3 this morning at a man who was just that kind of man. His name is Nicodemus. And in John chapter 3, verse number 1, the Bible says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so out of Jesus' own mouth, here is the first time that we hear this phrase, born again. Jesus gives it to a man whose name is Nicodemus, a Pharisee. We'll talk about that in a moment, a ruler of the Jews. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Would you pause with me for just a moment for prayer? And I'm just going to ask that God would help us. Now, it's obviously, this is a recording. I'm recording this actually on September 10th, getting ready to leave tomorrow morning to drive a moving truck out to Kansas City. My son is relocating to Kansas City, is taking a job with the Kansas City Police Department. And so we're helping him move out there. So we're recording this now, and it's being played this morning. And so it's a little bit different for me to be praying here a week and a half prior to this message being preached, but I believe that God hears and answers prayer. And with all my heart, this radio program is something that we prayed about doing, and as far as bearing the expense and taking the time to do it. But the reason that we're doing this is so that people can hear the gospel. And it's not me, it's not our church, and we're not part of a denomination. It's that the truth of God's word can be getting out. It doesn't matter whose mouth that it gets out. It's that it's done in the power of the Holy Spirit of God and the true word of God, the gospel. And also to encourage those that are saved. And oftentimes people aren't able to get out to church, and sometimes it's health, and these bodies are wearing out, and they're not going to last forever. And that some folks can't get out. Some just are temporary. It's a sickness, or maybe they're caregiving in their home, caring for someone else, and they can't get out. And so that it would be an opportunity where they could hear the preaching. And so it's not the best preaching in the world, but it's the Word of God, and we're as sincere in it as we can be. But the burden upon the heart really in these last days is that there are so many religious people, and the good people with just having a lot of good things in place, but to really know the reality of that being good is not enough, and that except a man is born again, this is only something God can do. Except a man is born again, he's not going to heaven, he's going to go to hell forever. Good men, good women, good young people leaving this earth and going to hell because they were never born again. It's a serious matter, And so this morning I don't put up any arguments for it. I just want to pray and ask God to open up our hearts and minds and that we just hear these truths for just a few moments, Father, we thank you for this day. And Lord, we know that you are well aware of what's going on in the hearts of each one of us. You know where we're at. We believe the Bible when, Lord, we read, you know every thought that's ever gone through our minds. You know every word we've ever spoken. Not only do you know what we do, you know why we do it. You know our intentions. Lord, this morning is our intention, God, to have the gospel be clear. And so we pray, Lord, you open up our hearts and minds. Help us to hear the word of God. That your Holy Spirit would work mightily in the hearts of each one of us. And Lord, if there be some listening this morning that have never been born again, Lord, their heart would be convicted. Lord, they would put their faith in Jesus Christ and be born again. And Father, we do pray that you would encourage those this morning that are listening who cannot get out. And that maybe, Lord, they're discouraged. Maybe, Lord, they're burdened. Maybe they have things in their own life that, Lord, they're dealing with. But God, that you would encourage them. Help us, Lord, to know that you do care. And Lord, keep us on track. May you help us to only say the things today that need to be said, that you desire to be said, and may you be honored and glorified by it, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're in John chapter 3. We've been introduced to a man. His name is Nicodemus. He comes to Jesus by night, and we say, well, wonder why he came by night. Well, we have some information given us here in verse 1. He's a Pharisee. I talk about the Pharisees all the time, and I refer to the Pharisees all the time. The other day, somebody said, what's a Pharisee? And I was reminded that, you know, when you don't know something and people refer to it all the time, it's confusing. And a Pharisee, what is that? Well, it's a religious Jew. It's a leader of the Jews. He's a religious leader of the Jewish religion. So the Jewish religion would have its roots in the Old Testament law. And so in our King James Bible, the first 39 books in the Bible, beginning with Genesis and ending with Malachi, that's the Old Testament. The word testament means covenant. The word covenant is a promise, so it's the old promise. God says this is the law. The Bible says the law was given by Moses, and so it's a reference to that Old Testament. And it was a system that God had instituted to show us what righteousness, what holiness is. In what would be required to be holy. Now, I've come to the understanding, I think in many others as well, that the Old Testament was not written so that we could learn how to be righteous and provide salvation for ourselves. It was written to show us that we never could. So the law wasn't given so we could become righteous. The law was given so that we could see that we could never keep it. You know, James, in James chapter 2, said that if we were to be guilty in one point of the law, if we were to fail in one point of the law, that we would be guilty of all. And so you read the law, and if you were to break any part of that, then you would be guilty of the whole thing. And so I don't know if you've ever read the law. I mean, just even the basic Ten Commandments, there's just failure. And the law wasn't given so people could become saved. The law was given so people could realize they could not be saved. Well, through the years, the Jews, who the law was given to, as they're performing these duties, they began to stray really from the Word of God, and they began to institute many of their own laws and customs. And they began to bring traditions into that law. So at the time that Christ came on the scene and began to preach the Word of God and preach truth, their law had changed so much that it was not the system that God had set up. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. The Pharisees were the ones leading that. They had gotten to the point where they had so separated out the common person. and have elevated themselves to such a religious and a righteous place that they had almost become above the law. And they hated Christ. They hated Jesus. The thing I remember about the Pharisees more than anything, if I were to have my Bible taken away today in my eyesight and my hearing, and I could never read or never hear the Bible again, the image that I would have of Pharisees for the rest of my life are a group of religious people that said in their own hearts and minds, you know what? We know what's right and what's wrong. We don't need anybody telling us what's right. We don't need anybody telling us what's wrong. We have a system with which we live by, and we are okay. We don't need any Christ coming. We don't need any salvation. We don't need any. We are okay. We have our church attendance. We have our religious work. We have our sacrifices. We are fine. And when Christ began to tell them that they were not fine, that their sacrifices could never take away sin, that their religious work could never provide them salvation, and when Jesus began to reveal to them that in their hearts they truly were sinners, and that just because they looked good on the outside, the inside was dark and they were lost, they hated Christ. Multiple times they tried to kill him, and ultimately the Pharisees were the ones that led the multitudes to rise up against Christ, and ultimately got the Roman Empire by the hand of Pilate to crucify Christ on the cross. It was the Jews that did that, specifically being led by their leaders, who are the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, this group of religious men. And so Nicodemus was one of them. And so he comes to Jesus by night. You say, well, why does he come to Jesus by night? Well, he comes to Jesus by night because he didn't want the rest of the Pharisees to know that he had some serious interest in the things that Jesus was doing. And this is a really neat situation, because Nicodemus was seeing the same things that the rest of the Pharisees were doing. He was working the law. He was trying to do the best he could. But when he saw Christ and he saw Christ's miracles and he heard Christ when he spoke with authority, he knew there was something genuine about him, and he had to know for himself. So as this lays out, the Bible says Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and said unto him, this is what Nicodemus says. So he comes to Jesus face to face. He says, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now, friends, I've read this 1,000 times. I don't see a question there. He's making a statement. He's making a statement. He said, we know that you've come from God. We've settled that. Now, he's saying we. I don't think a lot of his contemporaries were sharing that same thing. And they called him a devil. They called him a blasphemer. And so when Nicodemus says this, I think he probably has in mind himself. And so he has sought Jesus out. What kind of a careful situation, as he is watching Christ, waiting for a time that he could approach him alone at night. And, you know, I can't help but to think God knowing all things, and Jesus being God, knowing all things, made himself available for this man. And friend, I don't know where you're at today, and I don't know what you're going through. And I would imagine there's some listening this morning that are going through some hard times and some very difficult and some trying times. And it may be physical, it may be financial, it may be with your family, a relationship, it may be, I don't know what it is. But you're wondering, does God know where I'm at? Does he remember? Be reminded, he knows where you're at. He knows where you're at. He knows exactly what's going on in your heart and life, and he does care. And if you're a Christian this morning, you know you could pray right where you're at this moment, because Christ has entered into the holy place and he has made provision for your sin. And you now are a priest unto God yourself. You don't need, it's good for others to pray, but you can pray. You can go right in boldly to the throne of grace right now, this very moment. Let my words fade away from your mind, and you just go in and talk to the Lord and tell him you need to be encouraged. Tell him that you love him. Tell him that you do trust him, but you're having a hard time. Tell him that you're going through something in your life that is bigger than what you are, but you don't believe that it's bigger than what he is, and let him know that you need him. And just as a child, reach up by faith and grab the hand of God and say, God, I just want to spend some time with you. I want you to comfort me. He'll do it, friend. He will do it. I believe with all my heart he made himself available for Nicodemus. He made himself available. And so Nicodemus comes and says, I know that you've come from God. I'm looking at the miracles you're doing. I'm hearing what you're saying. There's no way that you could do this unless God were with you. And then Jesus immediately answers him in verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, As I read this again, with many of you, John chapter 3, we've read this so many times. And Jesus just, he comes right at him, comes right out with a very strong point. I've often thought maybe Christ comes at him quickly because Nicodemus is already kind of in a hurry himself. He don't have a whole lot of time. He's come to Christ by night. He comes to him alone, somewhat secretively. He just has some questions. Jesus says, "Hey, I'm not going to drag you through 3 hours of exhortation. Nicodemus, let me just tell you what you need. You need to be born again." He didn't want to argue with him for hours about the law. He didn't want to answer a lot of questions. He didn't want to go through a long dissertation. He just simply says, "Nicodemus, you've settled it. You believe I've come from God? Then I have a message for you. You must be born again." Now, Nicodemus, the Bible says, verse 4, said unto him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" So Nicodemus, obviously, he understands how a person's born and from the mother's womb. But to be born again, now that he doesn't understand. And so his question is, how can this be? How can a man be born again? Can he enter again? Can he go through this natural birthing process again? And then Jesus answers him in verse 5, "Verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Now this is interesting. There's so many different views on this and being born of water and being born of the Spirit. But think about this. Nicodemus just brought up the physical birth. He said, "I know how a person is born physically. In order to be born again, do I have to go back through that process again?" Well, I mean, with us, obviously that's impossible. But he brings up the physical birth. And then Jesus answers him and says, "I'm telling you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit." I believe Jesus' reference of born of water is back to that physical birth. And I'm not an expert on this, but I do know when before my wife delivered, her water broke, and I understand the sustaining of that life that was within her, and that water breaking means that birth is ready to take place. Now I believe that that's what Jesus refers to here, is that physical birth. And so Nicodemus knows that he's been born. He's been born of a woman. He's been born once. But Jesus says, unless you've been born again, unless you've been born twice, you'll not see the kingdom of God. The first birth, yes, is that physical birth. The second birth is a spiritual birth. The first birth had everything to do with a human father and a human mother and brought forth a human being. kind of simple, but, you know, God has never made things too complicated. But the second birth is a spiritual birth. This is one that won't have anything to do with a human father or human mother and will not provide a human birth. This is not something that can be done through a natural process. This is a spiritual birth, the second birth, being born again. And then Jesus goes on further to explain verse number 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's that physical birth that he referred to. That's that water birth. He says, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. In verse 7, he says, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again." He says, "Nicodemus, don't marvel that I've spoken this." The physical birth, that's the first time a person is born. Everybody's experienced the physical birth. But in order to go to heaven, you must experience the spiritual birth. That's the second birth. This is the second birth, and it's being born again. And so Jesus says, "Marvel not." Nicodemus, this isn't something that you can do through your religious work, through your law, and through being a Pharisee, through being a good man. And Nicodemus was a good man. He was a good man. His life would have been marked by righteousness. He's keeping the law. He's honoring the Sabbath. He's making his sacrifices. He's taking his tithes and his offerings. And Nicodemus was, if he were to be faithful, he would be running and maintaining his family the way that the law said to. He would be handling his finances that way. He would not be fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. He was in all rights a very good man. And apparently, He was a very sincere man, just like many that are in our world today. Good men, good women. They love their spouses. They're doing what they can. They're trying to provide. They're not out there murdering. They're not killing. They're not extorting money from people. They're not criminals against society. They're law-abiding citizens who love their families, and many of them are church attenders. Many of them are not. They just are good people living a good life. And Jesus says to a man just like that, you can't go to heaven unless you're born again. There's no amount of good that you can do to earn yourself heaven, eternity. And oftentimes, there are so many, and they're wise people. They're teaching people how to invest for the future. And so we spend our whole lives investing for our retirement, a very small percentage of our life, the very end of our life. And so we spend all of our life and all of our effort providing for these few years so that we have what we need. And yet the moment we die, we go into eternity, and many go into eternity having made no preparation at all for that time. And friend, I'm not telling you you're unwise to provide for your physical future, although I believe there's limitations to that. I believe that the Christian ought to be thinking about heaven all the time, laying up our treasures in heaven, where moth and rust doth not corrupt, and where thieves don't break through and steal. And this is what God's word says, what Jesus said. You know, sometimes we're saving too much. Sometimes we're laying too much aside. There's a world that needs to be reached with the gospel. We ought to be extending ourselves. We ought to be, by faith, we ought to be giving what we can give to this. And, hey, listen, God will take care of tomorrow. He's always said that he would. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Now, friend, either we have faith or we don't. Either we believe that God is who he says he is, or we don't. Either we believe that God will provide for us, or we believe that we provide for ourselves. Well, many of us, by our own lives, prove that we don't believe God and that we do believe it's all up to us. We're doing everything we can to secure ourselves a future. When God says, take no thought for tomorrow, the Lord knows what we have need of. And he says, lay up your treasures in heaven and I'll take care of you. But Nicodemus had made all this provision, but he had not come to the realization that going to heaven was not something that he could earn for himself. And friend, this morning, the message is this. Going to heaven is not something that you can provide for yourself. You can't earn for yourself. You must be born again. How does that happen? Well, Jesus goes on and he teaches him several principles leading up to verse number 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so in God's economy, you could not purchase heaven by your own good works, but he purchased it for you through the Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus left heaven's glory, was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, went to the cross of Calvary to provide salvation for every one of us. He was punished for our sin. He shed his blood. The Bible says he gave up the ghost, was buried. On the third day, he arose again. And he offers salvation to all that will come to him by faith. So it doesn't have to be purchased. You don't have to buy it with money. You don't have to buy it with time. You don't have to buy it with energy or effort. You don't have to purchase it with being a good person. You don't have to purchase it by going to church. You don't have to purchase it by changing. You just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you can be born again. Nicodemus had a lot of good things in place, but he did not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And God said, that's what you need to do. And if you would do that, whosoever believeth on him should not perish. You won't go to hell when you die, but the promise is that you'd have everlasting life. So friend, this morning, the message is you must be born again. You must place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says his blood washes your sin away. You're born again. That's something that God does. It's not something you can do yourself. And when God does it, it's done. Eternal life is your present possession. You would now be a child of God if you were to die a second after, or 20 years after, or 50 years after you were born again. It makes no difference. To be absent with the body is to be present with the Lord. Friend, you must be born again. Isn't that a great offer? The gospel of Jesus Christ. I hope this has been an encouragement to you this morning, friend. God bless you. You have a great day. Well, my friend, I hope that the broadcast was an encouragement to you today. If there's anything I can do for you, you can call. You can call the church at 330-688-7437. Or you can visit us on the website, StowFallsBaptistChurch.com. Or if you'd like to visit the services, if you don't have a church that you attend and you'd like to visit us, we'd sure appreciate that. Our address is 1601 Monroe Falls Avenue. Sunday school's at 9:30. The Sunday morning service at 10:45, excuse me. And the Sunday evening service at 6 o'clock. And we do meet midweek Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. God bless you. You have a great day.